Kathy and Fred have been here at Shiloh for about 21 years, and I can never remember how long people have been here. I just remember from how old their kids were. So, I mean, I can remember, like, Fred and Philip were, like, here or something like that. Is that right? Maybe. I don't know. But so about 21 years. And those of us in women's ministry know her really well. She is a powerful, powerful servant of God, prayer warrior. If you got something to pray about, you tell her, because she knows how to storm the gates of heaven. She's been called to the ministry and is licensed as a missionary and evangelist. She's a graduate of Wayland Baptist University and Rhema Bible Institute. So I'm telling you, if you want faith, just call on her, because she's got it figured out. We love her because she is such a gentle spirit and yet strong and mighty. And there is something about that combination in a woman that I believe God can use. And so we believe she has the word of the Lord for us today. And I want you to receive her with a warm Shiloh welcome as she ministers to us today. Take your liberty in the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
When I was asked this past week, earlier part of this week, it did come to me by surprise. But the word of God in the New Testament says, be ready in season and out of season. And I always ask God to help me to be ready wherever I go and take action whenever I can. And so with that said, I believe that I do have a word for you, because it did come quickly. Because God knows that I am one that will prepare. And matter of fact, I had 42 pages by the time I got done. Last night, I did get it cut down. I did get it cut down to 13. So I do believe I have the word of God. And when I read these scriptures, and there's two main stories that I would like to talk about today that will impact your life. Amen. And impact my life. And before I go into that, and I just want to tell the folks that I changed scripture. I'm sorry. So we are still going to be in that same chapter, but I added on. So bear with me. So if you can just touch and agree with me as I get ready to pray. Father God, I thank you, and I'm a willing vessel, God, for you, God. And I have the great and mighty King that lives inside of me. I am part of your family. And Father God, from the throne room, I pray that that you activate your Holy Spirit in me right now, God. That, Lord, I would deliver what the message from the throne would say to your beloved, to your people, oh Father God. So Father God, have free reign in me. I give you permission to do so, God. And so God, I thank you that lives will be changed today. Or at least lives will be refreshed and restored today. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, and bless your word that as I bring it forth. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. So, I know that the time is late. And I just want you all to be patient with God. Because I do believe what I have today is a word from the throne room. So God wants your undivided attention. Those who have put the food in the crock pot, it is still in the crock pot. KFC is still down the road, okay? So I'm praying that nobody's stomach is going to be growling today, because I believe with great confidence that this word is for you. That God wants all of you to be attentive to what the message is going to be today. So, sound crew, I'd like to start off with Acts chapter 26. And there's two stories that I'm going to be reading, and this is one of them. And then once I finish reading both stories, then I tell you the title of the message, and you're going to go, ah, okay, yes, that's for me. So in the book of Acts, chapter 26, and I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way to the end of the chapter, chapter 32. There's a reason why I need, as I tell the little ones, I say, do you have your hearing aid, everything on to listen? So listen to the word of God. I'm coming from the NIV. Chapter 26, starting with verse 1. And it reads as, then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I take my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and conversities. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, and that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? You all need to get this. I too was convinced. Listen to Paul. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. You hear his story? And I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my company, my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the gourds. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you've seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And I place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Jesus talking to Saul, who eventually renamed to Paul. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentile. I preached that they would repent and return to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. This is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophet of and Moses has said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and the first to rise from the dead, from being the message to light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this same point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind. Have you been there when you're trying to? All right. He shouted, "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophet?" Now this is Festus asking. "I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, listen to how he replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become that I am, except for these chains." The king rose and went with the governor and Bernice and those sitting in with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, "This man is not doing anything that deserves of death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." I'll tell you a little bit of background. Because of time, the other story I want to go into, and I won't read it, and you all are familiar with, is the woman at the well. And I'll get into that as I deliver this message. Now, this is the title of my message. Were you all listening?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. No. Okay. The title of my message is Tell Your Story. Tell your story. You got a story to tell. Paul had an amazing story to tell. He was up against, for his life. He was on trying to defend himself for his life. For just because he was telling the gospel. He told about his experience. We all have a story to tell. We may not be in the challenges that Paul had in chains, but we all have a story to tell. So when I was praying about it. I said, okay, God, I have been asked to bring the word. I'm a willing vessel. And it didn't come, and it didn't take long before that theme came to me. And then the scripture came afterward. So when I got home that night and I prayed and I sat on my patio and Fred was out watering the grass, what little grass we have. And I was just sitting there meditating, and I said, Lord, I need a word from you, and I need it in a hurry. Yeah. Because I do a lot of prepping, and I said, I need it in a hurry, Lord, because sometimes when I need a word, you take your time giving it to me. But I need it in a hurry this week, so I can prepare for it. And in my spirit, as soon as I said that prayer, he says, tell your story. Tell your story. We all have a story to tell. Paul had a story to tell. From Genesis to Revelation, we have biblical stories to tell. Every one of them had a story to tell. And what is that story? The story, the thread that from Genesis to Revelation, the story is directing them back to God. Even Jesus had a story to tell by his lifestyle, by showing the Father's will. We too have a story to tell. And then as it was confirmed to me this week that was what I was supposed to speak on, the next morning when I got up and went into the family room area, the TV was on, and what Fred there was an advertisement with Nancy Grace on. You all, she kind of advocate for those who've lost their lives or trying to solve a crime. Nancy Grace was on, and she came out, and she said, and I have a story to tell. And I went, yeah. I said, Nancy, I got one to tell, too. And then with Muhammad Ali passing this week, and the many stories that are at his funeral, and as they were speaking, they were telling his story. And I say, God, I know that that this word is for your beloved people, that we have a story to to tell. So let's go. Amen. Amen. The unsaved are really looking for something that can work in your life. Look at the stories and the headlines and the very thing that happened last night. The world is looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for something. They're looking for demonstration. They're looking for a substance, whether it's in marijuana or alcohol. They're looking for something. They're looking for examples. Paul told his story. What was that story? He told his story when he was on Damascus Road, ready to go and kill and persecute. And all, you know, and then in some of his epistles, he said he was the chief sinner. But look how God turned him around and became an example. He told his story. And everywhere that Paul went, he told the story of the gospel. That's all God wants from you, is to tell the story of the gospel. Tell the good news. We all have a story to tell. You see, our testimonies, and I say this from now on, that our stories and our testimonies are powerful. Only you can tell your story. God may have placed you in this one, I guess, as he was speaking to me, that he is going to, by telling your story, he's going to open up some opportunities for you right where you are. He knows each one of your personalities on how to deal with you. He wants you to tell your story. He wants me to tell my story by my life and the good news of the gospel. Because the world is looking for someone to tell their story and live up to their story. Our stories are powerful because they reflect God and they reflect Jesus. They are also reflect the gospel of Jesus, which is powerful in itself. The resurrection of Jesus. Let me tell you that the Apostle Paul, who finds himself arrested and makes a defense of his belief. He has been arrested and is on trial for his life. Acts 26 gives us a great example on how God used this one man's story in this passage that Paul in prison for his faith, and he is given the opportunity to speak in his own defense before King Agrippa. He tells his story in a clear and powerful way. You have a story. Somebody wants to hear your story. So Paul gives his story to the king, and he ends it at a time that the king would say, "What, Paul, would you have me to be a Christian right now?" And Paul, he replies kind of like this, "Well, yeah." You and everyone else is here who's listening. I would like for them to be a Christian. So God and Christ are seen throughout and reflected throughout Paul's story. And God and Christ are seen in my story. We all have a unique story to tell. My story is a little different than your story. But I met Jesus, so I'm going to tell a little bit about my story. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was a child at 10 years old. And I said, what can a child out of the mouths of babes? A lot of things can happen. So I was around 10 years old. And my mother made sure that we went to church and went to Sunday school. Now, through my entire life, was I on the right track? Nope. But I accepted Jesus. That seed was planted in me. That seed is in me. And by you telling your story, you're planting a seed. And let God worry about, let him do his job on developing them. But you plant the seed by your story of your uniqueness to someone, to a lost world. He said, Paul said that he came now, he was in darkness, now that he is in light, and he wants to share that light with everyone that came into his presence. Paul was on fire. I have seen my story is living. I know that God is alive and well. I know that he talks with me, just like that song says, and he walks with me. Because one of these old time songs by Mahalia Jackson, "You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him." Do you all remember that by Mahalia Jackson? I like that song. "You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him." So I praise God, parents, that you have children out there. Start them off with in a young age there. You know, I just said, was I always on the right track? I've fallen off and probably still be falling off. But thank God, by through the grace of God, you can get back on the right track there. because I know too much about him. I know what he's done in my life. I know that when he will take something and take something little and he has multiplied it. I have testimonies to say that I'm not on tithes and offering right now. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying he has always proved himself to me. I have always been favored before God and man. I grew up in a where I didn't have running water. I didn't have indoor plumbing. We had to go fetch the water. We had to go get the water. We had an outhouse. I remember at 5 years old, first time going to school, going to the bathroom, and I was leaving out of the room going outside. Because no one told me there was a bathroom inside. Okay, so I know where God has brought me from. I know that when I started out in the GS service, when I was a civil service worker, I'm retired now, everybody, I'm retired. I am retired. Now, I never even thought of being a supervisor. But you know, God is faithful. He took me from one. He'll make sure I was in one place at the right time with the right people. He made sure that every stage of my life that I needed a mentor in this stage, a mentor in that stage. He made sure that somebody caught me when I was derailing. So starting the federal government at the age of 17 years old, and I don't look a day, When I started 17 years old, I started off as a GS-1, those who know what civil service is. A GS-1. They don't even do that anymore. They'll start them off as 3s now. But as a GS-1. And I would never have ever dreamed of getting to the hierarchy of managementship, being a manager in the civil service, in federal service. I never had dreamt it. But God made sure that I was in the right place in the right time. Last year, I suffered with my foot hurting me. But I said, no matter what trials and tribulations you go through and challenges, trust in the Lord. This is my story I'm telling you. God is faithful. Woo! He's faithful. He's been faithful to me. He can be faithful to you. He's faithful, God. Glory. He's faithful. I remember when my mother had a stroke in 1988 and I went home and I only had $125 to our name. I had to pay tithe. Now, I don't have to pay tithe, but I was faithful. I was faithful. And I remember leaving Germany with a few dollars in my pocket and only $125 in our bank account. When I got back to Germany, because I went by myself, I got back and I held out a wad of money to my husband. He said, where you get it from? I said, well, cousin so-and-so gave me this, my brother gave me this. I came back with $500. That was a lot of money. God is faithful. Hallelujah. That's my story. He is a healer. Now, you see, I got my shoes on. It's not in a boot anymore, but I trusted in God. God will use medicine however he wants to use it. Sometime he would... You know, I'm not going to question God why some get healed just like that and some got to take some progress. But praise God, I went to a man of God, his name, Dr. Roberts. I'm telling my story. I'm going to be transparent, okay? Because the podiatrist I was going to had did everything. Shots in my feet and talking about surgery. And I said, no surgery. And then the shots weren't doing any good, and I said, no more shots. Shots not doing me any good. So I remember my friend Pat Rofford was telling me, have you tried Dr. Roberts? He's a Christian doctor, the chiropractor. And I went to him, and I never had heard toes cracked so hard in my life. When he cracked my toe, I said, oh, man, I'm really out of line. You know? And then I remember I went to him several times, and I was still kind of hopping. I was feeling better, but I was still hopping on it. It was still paining as I walked on it. And I went in the office when the podiatrist says, I can't do anything for you anymore. And I said, well, bye-bye. I did. I said, because I'm not having any, I ain't having surgery, and I'm not having shots in my foot anymore. So I went to Dr. Roberts, and he was getting a little flustered, and I was telling him what the podiatrist says, and I like what Dr. Roberts has across, and he said, all who answer here will be blessed. And he said, after I told him the story that the podiatrist had given up on me, he said he went to the Lord and prayed about me. And he said, Lord, you're not going to give up on her. I won't give up on her. So he asked wisdom on what to do for me. And he told me this in the office. He said, I'm going to give you some information and some laser treatment that has been successful, and this is the direction that we're doing. So 5 weeks, for two times a week, I will go over there, and I don't have any more problem with my foot. So that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. He's a faithful God. He's faithful to provide for you. But somebody needs to hear your story. Because God is real. God is not someone to play with. God is real. And he wants to meet each one of our needs. So as I go on, and that's not even in my nose. I just, let me get back to it here. So each of us has a story. Each of us has to come to Christ, has a story. And our story is so unique, so personal, that God has done what God has done in our lives. That there are people around you that God has prepared that story for. And I want to emphasize this because I feel like this is a prophetic word for you. That if you just tell your story, God will set you up. That was in my spirit. If you are willing to tell the good news, your unique story, God said he's going to set you up. He's going to set you up for an appointment. He's going to anoint you for that appointment. Because just like Paul was on an assignment, each of you are on an assignment. You're on an assignment for the Lord. Maybe you feel like at times that God, that you can't share the gospel. Maybe you have had the tough question that someone may ask you if you are trying to do that. But let me just say, it's an exciting time, and God will give you what you need to say out of your spirit, because that King, that Holy Spirit, lives in you. And he's going to give you just what you need, because he's going to meet you just where you are. He knows your personality. He knows that you may be shy, but I pray that he will give you the boldness and the courage that you will need at that time, because God is going to set you up. And God likes winning. You're not going to lose. We're on the winning side. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Paul told his story, and you can't dispute his story. his story is facts, and your story is a fact. We're not going to make it up, and we're not going to add on or take away, because God's going to set you up. You're on an assignment, and he's going to anoint you for it. Well, some of you all may think, well, I don't have a story to tell. I don't have a story. Well, yeah, you do. You have a story to tell. The story is, before Christ, this is how I am, and I'm pondering whether I should follow him. Yeah. You can leave here today, if you don't have a story, you can leave here today with a story. You can lead today with a story on how you accepted Christ in your life. You know, when I first accepted the Lord in my life, and when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was like Cornelius. I was raised in a Methodist church, and they taught real good foundation. But I don't recall in my mind about that, the dunamos, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was a shy girl. I have never been a groupie. I didn't let people sway me to do stuff. I was quiet. But honey, I really was. When the Holy Ghost, come on, get in you. Yeah. Yeah. And it got in me. This is my story. It's my story. Yeah. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was at a revival in Nellingen in Germany. Y'all know those who've been there. It was one of those, what's that church? Assembly of God. I was going to an Assembly of God at that time. And I remember the teaching, how they taught in the book of Acts, and being infilled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I want that. I was like Cornelius. I knew a whole bunch of foundational things about salvation, but I never knew about the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, I want that. I want that. Yeah. Yeah. And so I remember, I'll never forget, and I still see this man's face in my, I don't know, he may have been an angel, because he didn't look like any other person that I've ever seen. But anyway, we had a guest speaker from Scotland was speaking, and I came up to the altar, and I said, I've heard about this Holy Ghost thing. And I want it. And this gentleman looked at me, and he was really white. He's the whitest person I've ever seen. And he looked like he had, I don't know, maybe it was my imagination, but I swear he looked like he had red eyes. You know how those bunnies, that white bunnies, they had the, but all I remember, and I still see it in my head, and I'm looking up to him, and he said, all you have to do, open your mouth and start praising him. Woo! Open your mouth and start praising him. So I started praising him. I said, if I have to stay here, if this is what Terry is, I'm going to stay here all night long. Because I was getting it that day. I was getting it. So I just thought, he said, don't think about anything else. With his little soft voice to me. He said, get focused. Start praising with all your heart and all your might, all your soul. Just start loving on God. And I did, and I was filled with that Holy Ghost at that time. Hallelujah. I hadn't been right since. That timidness, that shyness, it's gone out the window. Hallelujah. That's my story. You all have a story to tell. And God is going to prepare a way so that you can have an anointing on you to tell your story. Prepare the way of the Lord. Because we live in a society right now that people need to know your story. Need to know what they need to see, that God working in you. They need to see that true love, that agape love that we're supposed to be carrying. Are you ready for the mission? Are you ready for the task? Because you all got a story to tell. And you need to tell somebody that Jesus lives and he loves you just like he loves me. I ain't phoned these notes for nothing. So let me tell you about the woman at the well and how these two stories connect. You all know, I'm not going to read it, I'm going to tell you the story. That at Jacob's well, Jesus meet a woman from Samaria. And that's a bad thing because the Jews and the Samaritans, they don't get along. I'm talking about a divine appointment. Just like God is going to give you a divine appointment to tell your story. So this woman was minding her own business. She was there at the well to get some water. And here come Jesus showed up. Because in my studies, it says Jesus could have took another way.
Yeah, that's right.
But he went through this way to meet that woman. There is someone that's in your life that need to hear your story, to have an appointment, just like Jesus met this woman at the well. This woman at the well, we don't know her name, but her story is so powerful that Jesus told her all about herself. And Jesus met her where she was. She had a bad past. She was living in sin, currently living in sin with men that was not her husband. But let me tell you, Jesus don't care what your past is. He wants to heal that past. He healed that past of that woman at the well. He healed her. And because this woman had a story. And guess what happened? And that comes from John. That's in the fourth. Read the fourth chapter of John. Okay? That's all in John. Read it for yourself so you can tell your story. She was so affected and impacted by Jesus and that she believed that this was the Messiah. She ran to the village and told everybody she could tell about this. I know a man. Come and see about this man. Come see about him. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and just quote that right in it. And I'm going to, man, I ain't touched on these notes. It's out the window. But I asked the Holy Ghost to have the way. I had it printed out so lovely and eloquent, too. When we look at chapter 4, verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And they stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Because of this woman's story. She went to town and told her story. Paul told his story. He told about his story on his way on the road of Damascus. And how he felt that he was the chief priest. That they had sent him. He went to go kill. But he stopped along the way. And his life changed. Jesus came into his life. He accepted Jesus. And he's telling the gospel. all through the epistles, Paul told about as being the servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your story. If you don't have a story can begin today for you. If you feel like that you're in a dry place, and whether my story matters, your story matters. Because you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior sometime when. Your story matters. Yeah. Tell your story. If you feel like you need to go back to the well, experience like the woman and experience Jesus even more in a deeper way, go back to the well. Yeah. The well is the Word. If you feel like that you need to travel back on the road of Damascus, then get to the road of Damascus and have that personal relationship with God. Again, renew, rebuild you up again, and tell your story. I'm going to close with an article that was very disturbing to me that I read on Friday. I'm closing up. There go my nose. Bang. This was from the Sierra Vista Herald. And the title of this article is Faith No More, Part 3. I don't know. I haven't read the other parts to it. But when I read this, it was disturbing. And I said, God, this is right on time why we need to tell our story. Churches are being closed and Christians are denouncing of Jesus. They're leaving according to this article because they are being persuaded by friends and the culture of our land and so forth. I don't know what the other part said, but if you can go online and read it, it's disturbing and will make you and set you on fire that we need to tell our story, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. He's the one and only God. He's your Savior. Let me tell you why He's my Savior. He will give you the words. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Let me tell you. So many people all through the New Testament were testifying Jesus. And all God wants you to do is tell your story. Plant the seed, let the God do rest, set other people in their lives, water it, and other people help them grow. Yes, yes. But it starts with you planting the seed of your story. And even the Bible said that they rejected the Messiah right in this, was right with them, and they rejected him. But we still live in somewhat of a country that we have freedom. And there are some that had gone to jail this past summer because they didn't want to serve certain marriage certificate. But she told her story nationwide, didn't she? So the Bible says, I can't remember, I know it's in there. It says, wipe the dust off your feet. But God said, do your part and tell your story. So as I pray a closing prayer over each of you, I hope you were inspired, got on fire, and tell your story. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you first worked in our lives and that you, Lord, has given us a story to begin with. Lord, you are our great God and Lord, and we pray that you will continue to help us to love you, to seek after you, and help us to realize that each of us, Lord, have a story to tell. Help us to tell our story with the love that comes from you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.